Thank you, Ebenezer. Well, if you have a church Bible, turn with me to Matthew chapter 27. And the page number for that is 1006. If you haven't got a church Bible and would like one, then Janice, who's just stood up there, will get one to you. Just put your hand up and we'll get one to you. It's always good to read God's word as it's being read publicly and explained. So we're Matthew 27, starting at verse 45. It's got the heading there, the death of Jesus. So we're looking now at the crucifixion. Now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God. My God, why have you forsaken me? And some of the bystanders, hearing it, said, this man is calling Elijah. And one of them at once ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink. But the others said, wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs also were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep, were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. When the centurion and those who were with him, keeping watch over Jesus, saw the earthquake and what took place, they were filled with awe and said, truly, this was the Son of God. There were also many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Most people know at some level that Christmas is about the gift of a person, that person being Jesus. Easter is about how the baby given at Christmas, now full grown, makes a further gift of himself to us in his death on a cross on Good Friday, and then by his resurrection on Easter Sunday, the gift is finally unwrapped, as it were, so that we can understand it and receive it with joy. Christmas and Easter are connected by Jesus. Let's begin by considering the crucifixion that we've just read about. And I want you to remember three things that happened when Jesus was on the cross. Three things. Verse 45 that I read, there was darkness. The sixth hour is 12 o'clock midday, noon. At the moment when the sun was at its brightest, darkness fell over the whole land and lasted for 3 hours. That's what Matthew records. And this darkness happened at the Jewish Passover feast. We get that information from earlier in the chapter. And that feast always took place on a full moon. A solar eclipse can't happen at the same time as a full moon. So this darkness can't be explained away as a natural event, a solar eclipse. That makes it a supernatural event. God is at work here in verse 45, in this darkness. And in the Bible, light represents God's presence and blessing. It's a good thing. While darkness very often represents God's anger, God's judgment, and punishment. It's a bad thing. So as supernatural darkness comes over the land, it says the whole land, while Jesus is dying, it's a clear sign to everybody that God is angry. That's what that darkness signifies. Now, God's anger is not like yours and mine, normally the product of a short fuse. God's anger is a perfect and just hostility against all that is wrong. Wrongdoing matters to God. He will not overlook it, won't sweep it under the carpet. He will always punish it justly. And if we think about it, just for a moment, isn't that the kind of God we actually want? A God who is just and punishes wrong and blesses right. A God who cares about right and wrong, justice and injustice, and who has the power and will to sort it out perfectly. That's exactly the kind of God we want, isn't it? But that leaves us with a question as we think about this verse. Why should God display his anger as Jesus is dying on the cross? That takes us to verse 46 and our next point, which is Jesus was forsaken by God. We see that in verse 46. My God, cries out Jesus, why have you forsaken me? Now, we might think that the darkness over the land for those 3 hours is a sign of God's anger towards those who are killing the eternally beloved Son, Jesus, hanging him on a cross to die. In which case, verse 46 would leave us confused, doesn't it? My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you showing your anger towards me, taking away your love from me? Jesus suffered immense physical agony on the cross. But what is being spoken of here is spiritual agony. Jesus, God the Son, being abandoned by God the Father. That's what forsaken means, being abandoned by God the Father. The darkness then is falling or centering on Jesus. God the Son, Jesus, who has done no wrong, perfect man, is experiencing on the cross through these 3 hours God the Father's anger directly. How can that be just if Jesus has done no wrong? Why would the Father punish his perfect Son? Let's go back to Christmas and read the writing that was on the gift tag as Jesus was given to the world. It's verse 21 of chapter 1. You will call his name Jesus. This is about the baby, Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. He will save his people from their sins. Now Jesus, as he grew up, knew this was why he had been given as a gift to the world and explained it this way to his disciples in chapter 20 of Matthew. I came not to be served, even though I'm the King of Kings and the Son of God, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. The way that ransom works is that Jesus takes the sin of all those he came to save upon himself on the cross and bears the punishment that they deserve, even to death, verse 50. And all those he saves not only have their sin and guilt and shame removed, but have his sinless and perfect righteousness, his good life, his perfectly good life, credited to our account. So Jesus is a sacrifice who takes the punishment others deserve and who gains for others the perfect life they can't live. That's why we eat lamb at Easter. Who had an Easter meal, a lamb meal this week? Yeah, Lee did, someone did. Lambs were the animal commonly offered to God by the Jews as a sacrifice for sins. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes the sins of the world away. Now, thirdly, the temple curtain, as so ably demonstrated by Sophie, was torn in two, did you notice, from top to bottom, at verses 50 to 51. So as Jesus dies, something happens simultaneously at the temple, which is on the other side of the city from where Jesus is dying. Matthew sees that the two events happening together are connected. The curtain in the temple was 30 feet high, and it was as thick as the span of a man's hand. Okay? So it wasn't a little bit of fabric like we just separated in half. Tearing it in two would have been a superhuman event. Tearing it in two from the top to the bottom would have been a supernatural event. Man couldn't have done it. Again, God is at work here. The temple curtain separated, symbolically, people from God. God, as it were, dwelt on the other side. The people were living on the other side of the curtain. So they were separated by this curtain. The curtain was like a big do not enter sign that God put up. It said very loudly and clearly that if we go any further towards God, we can expect nothing but God's anger and punishment for our sin, because he is holy and just and we're sinners. But with the curtain being torn top to bottom, it's as if God is ripping up that old sign that says do not enter, and he's putting up another one that says welcome, come in, all is forgiven because of Jesus. So linking the death of Jesus with the curtain event makes it crystal clear to us all, doesn't it, this morning, that anyone can now be accepted by God through Jesus' amazing sacrifice. We can come to God. That's what's happening on the cross as Jesus is dying. Jesus was being punished and dying for our sin so that we can find forgiveness and acceptance with God. Now, the way to enter in to God's presence, now that the curtain's gone, is just to tell God that you now understand that actually, yeah, I'm a sinner. And I do deserve your anger and punishment, but I humbly and gratefully trust Jesus to be my Savior.